Be opening your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to just settle in there this morning. Again, thank you for being here. Young people, 5 o'clock this evening, meet me right up here in the front for Kids Connection. Hey, Layla, where'd you go? Where'd she go? She went out. You tell your sister. She just likes a few. I want her to know all 26 by this evening, okay? All 26. Hayden will make sure it happens. I know that. Hey, meet me right here, right up front at 5 o'clock. Be here a little bit early if you can. We may start a few minutes early, but we look forward to Kids Connection this evening. Our kids are going to be learning this evening about leadership and determination. I mean, if they're not careful, they'll end up like we are, right? We come up with all sorts of great plans, great ideas. And we even start a few of them. But then, you know, if we're not careful, our attention span wanes and something else will attract our attention. And we just don't ever seem to finish anything. This evening, your children are going to be challenged to take on a project. And they'll be formulating and bringing all that project together over the next couple of weeks. But not just formulate it. It'll be theirs. It'll be theirs. Their plan. They're going to do it. But then finish it. So tonight they're going to be learning about leadership and determination. We could stand a little bit of that. But you'll want your kids to be here for that this evening. You know, more and more I hear it being asked, and sometimes even of us, what's the big deal about Jesus? I mean, as if he's just one of many great leaders. Had some great thoughts, some great ideas, and maybe we have just chosen to follow his thoughts and his ideas, but hadn't we have chosen to follow one of the others? Well, wouldn't that have been just as good? What is the big deal about Jesus? You know, we could look at that and answer that question in a couple of ways. We can look at it from the logical standpoint, the logical perspective. I mean, today, right now, they tell us how they'd know. I don't know. But they tell us that there are 7.6 billion people living on this planet right now. I'd suggest to you it could easily be 8. It could easily be 8.5 billion because who sets down to count us, right? I mean, who knows? But that's a lot of people, isn't it? But think about how many people have lived on this planet since God created Adam and Eve. Billions upon billions upon billions of people have lived upon this planet, and yet only a handful, just a very few people, have made any kind of lasting impact upon this world. That's just the truth. Very few have made any kind of lasting impact upon this world. And then out of that few, there is one that stands head and shoulders above all the rest. What's his name? Jesus. I mean, even if we just looked at it from the logical. And now here we are, 20 centuries later. Folks, for 2,000 years, for 20 centuries, everything he said, everything he did has been studied, it's been analyzed, it's been scrutinized, it's been criticized, hasn't it? For 2,000 years, and now here we are today, 20 centuries later, and do you know that there is not one second of time when there aren't millions of people, and we're some of them right now, But there's not one second of time when there aren't millions of people somewhere around this world. There are millions of people who are studying the things that he said, who are studying the things that he taught. I mean, what's the big deal about this Jesus? He was born in just a little town, just a little community called Bethlehem. In fact, it's still just a little community called Bethlehem over there in the Middle East. Just a little town called Bethlehem. And yet his birth divides all history. You can't look at your clock this morning without it registering a time in history. You can't look at your calendar and say, well, this is whatever date it is, whatever year it is, without it being because there was a baby named Jesus who was born in a little community called Bethlehem. You can't write a check. You got to put a date on it, don't you? They don't like it when you don't put dates on them. I've written, we've been married 46 years. I've probably written 2 checks in 46 years. I don't know how to write a check. She sent me off the other day to write a check. I said, write a check for that. I didn't put the date on it. They didn't like that. You ought to put a date on that thing. Well, what does that date symbolize? There was a child that was born in a little town called Bethlehem. All those years ago, his birth marks history. What's a big deal about this Jesus? As far as I know, he never wrote a book. And yet, I feel unchallenged in saying you go to any of the great libraries, any of the libraries you want to go to, and there'll be more books about him in that library than any other subject. And yet he never wrote a book. As far as I know, he never wrote a song. I sat there last Tuesday evening at that singing, and I thought to myself, he never wrote a song. And yet think of all the songs we sang about him last year. Think about the songs we sang about him today. How many more songs could be sung about him? More songs have been written about him than any other person who's ever graced the face of this planet. He never painted a picture, as far as I know. He never painted a picture. And yet you go to any major art museum, without exception, any major art museum, and who'll dominate the landscape of that museum? There have been more pictures painted about him and his life and the things that he did than any other person in history. You know, he never gathered together an army. Never an army. And yet he has an army that follows him. Oh, not an army that would take your life, but an army that would give their lives for him, right? An army of millions and millions and millions. What is there about him? Was it because he traveled so far? You know, as far as we can tell, as far as we know, he never traveled, you know, just right in that little section of the globe where he was born, just right, the furthest trip he ever made was down into Egypt, and he was carried there by his parents. He never traveled very far. And yet there is not a place on this planet where the sun shines that you can't find someone who claims to be a follower of his. He only started with a handful of followers. Just a handful. Just a handful. And now, 30% of the world's population claim to be followers of him. 30%. He only taught 3 years, folks. He only taught 3 years. And yet we spend, you know,
a lifetime studying the things that he had no formal education. And yet, how many schools, universities have been established because he lived? What I'm saying to you is, what's the big deal about this Jesus? People are asking that question. It was asked of me in a restaurant just in the last 2 weeks. There's a waitress in the restaurant. Every time I'm in there, I ask her, can we study together? This time, I ask her to come with me to a singing. Last Tuesday evening. She said, I'm not going to promise anything. I said, I know you're not. And I know what that means. And she said, yeah. And I said, we went on about our business. In fact, I left the restaurant and someone called me and said, hey, could you meet me for coffee? And I went back in. End up waiting an hour for that person to get there. And as she's cleaning up and the crowd is thinned out, she came by me and she sat down and she said, can I ask you a question? What is the big deal about this Jesus? Do you know? I could give you all of this, just logic that we've talked about so far. Why is there such a big deal? When he never wrote a book, he never wrote a song, he never had any education, he never traveled. Why? What's the big deal about this Jesus? There must be something special about him, right? There must be something special about him. But here's what the Apostle Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, said is special about Jesus. Look at verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 19. Colossians 1, verse number 19. Here it is, folks. For it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. There it is, folks. What's the big deal about Jesus? It pleased the Father that in Jesus all fullness should dwell. Listen, folks. Jesus is not just prominent. Jesus is preeminent. It's serious. It's serious. It's dangerous, even. Dangerous to ignore him. It's impossible to explain him. It's disastrous to ignore him. It's fatal to deny him. He's a big deal. He is the deal. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. I want you to look at three things in this chapter. In this chapter, really in this book, I mean, it just carries right on through it. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a congregation which is being faced with this kind of question. What's the big deal about Jesus? And Paul says, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, in him, the Father was pleased to cause all fullness to dwell. And right here in this chapter, he gives us three things. Notice the first one in verse number 15. We'll read verses 15 and 16. Speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Look what he says in verse number 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? You can remember it like this. What's the big deal about Jesus? He's the revealer of God. He is the revealer of God. In fact, if you just turn, in my Bible at least, one page over to chapter 2 and in verse number 9, I told you this is the continuing theme of this book, of this letter. Here it is. Chapter 2, verse number 9, speaking of Jesus, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Jesus. And he's the revealer of God. See, God is, he's unseen. He's spirit. He's unseeable to us. He's unapproachable to us. We're sinful. He's perfection. And he's unapproachable to us. Unless there is someone who can bring us to him by revealing God to us. And Jesus is that revealer. There are two words in this verse, verse 15, that I want you to really pick up on. Notice it says that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. The Greek word there, if we were reading it from the Greek, is the word icon. Y'all probably never heard that word. Our kids have heard it. It's the Greek word icon. He is our God. That's the idea. He is our God. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 14, and in verse number 9, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's right. He's the image of God. He reveals God to us. I think about Jesus. I just sit around thinking about stuff. I think about Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple. You remember? At the age of 12, he's sitting around with those learned men. And he's asking them questions, and they're asking him questions, and they're marveling at his answers. At some point, I can imagine asking, "Boy, how old are you?" And I don't know. I wasn't there. But I can imagine Jesus saying, "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm older than my mother, and I'm as old as my father." You get it? How could Jesus say that? Jesus could say, "I'm older than my mother. I'm as old as my father." Why? Because he is God, right? He's the image of God. On his mother's side, he could say, "I thirst. I thirst." But on his father's side, "I'm the water of life." You ask me, if you just ask me, I'd give you water whereby you'd never thirst again. On his mother's side, he got hungry. But on his father's side, he could say, "I'm the bread that's come down from heaven. I'm the bread of life." On his mother's side, he could weep at the tomb of Lazarus. But on his father's side, he could say, "Lazarus, come forth." And what's the only thing Lazarus could do? Come forth. Why? Because he is the image of God. There's a second word in verse 15 I want to call your attention to. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. We've got to be careful. We must be careful here. Because it'd be easy for us to read that and say, "Oh, he's the first created." He was never created. He is the image of God. He's always been. How old is God? That's how old Jesus is. It's not talking about time, it's talking about status. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's over every creature. Everyone. Well, it's gonna say that in verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. It's not talking about time. It's talking about status. It's the way it's used in some other places. I'll give you just one of them. In the Psalms, chapter 89, verse number 27. Psalms 89, verse 27. God says, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. That's it. His status is higher than kings. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. That's who Jesus is. What's the big deal about Jesus? He's the image of God. What's the big deal about Jesus? His status is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is over all things. So the first answer that Paul gives to, what's the big deal about Jesus? The big deal about Jesus is you wouldn't know the Father if it wasn't for him. I'm going to say that to you again. You would never know God if Jesus didn't reveal him. You say, now come on. The heavens declare the glory of God. Hey, don't get mad at me. Take it up with Jesus. I want you to flip back with me in your Bibles. Keep your hands here at Colossians chapter 1. Flip back with me in your Bibles. We know well Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We know well verse 28. I want you to notice verse 27. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, but no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father. Get that. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You wouldn't know God the Father, unless Jesus revealed him to you. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Look at any other of the prominent people in history. Of all those billions, there was just a few. Look at any of them. Look at any of them. And how many of them could reveal the Father to you? The one and only. The one and only. That's what the big deal is, folks. The one and only. Jesus Christ. He's the revealer of the Father. Let's look at number two. The second thing Paul says, and you can think about it again with a number, with a letter R. Look, beginning in verse 16, we'll read down through verse 17. He's the ruler of the universe. You ready? Here we go. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, not 99.9, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now let's dissect that a little bit. Look right at the end of verse number 16. All things were created by him. Every tree, every twig, every leaf, every blade of grass, every flower. Who created it? He did. He did. Every stream, every little stream of running water, every creek, every river, all the oceans, all of that. Who created it? He did. He did. Everything that was created, all things were created by Him. By Him. And think how much effort it took. Think how much effort it took. I mean, he just spoke it. Light, let it be. And there was light. Stars, let them be. And there were stars. The sun, let it be. And there was a sun and a moon. Planets. I don't know. I sometimes wish that I had taken the time to study more about those things. But do you know that how fast light travels? Imagine you had a flashlight. Kids, you listening? Imagine you had a flashlight that would shine around the world. In the time you could turn that flashlight on and off, a beam of light could travel around the earth 8 times. That's pretty fast. That's faster than my old truck, folks. That's pretty fast. That's pretty fast. Folks, do you know that the nearest star, after our sun, of course, the nearest star away from us, 4.5 light years. The next time you're standing out there and you look just off to the right of that moon and you see Alpha and Centauri, you think to yourself, that light that I'm seeing right now took 4.5 years for that light traveling at the speed of light to reach my eye. This is a big old universe, isn't it? And that's just talking about our Milky Way, right? And now we're told there are billions and billions of other things, of other galaxies out there, billions upon billions of them. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, said, I don't know why they even care what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. But if you ask me what I think, get ready, I'll probably tell you what I think. I was asked the other day, a few weeks ago, Dave, do you think there's life out there on other planets somewhere? And I said, I don't. I really don't. I don't know, but I really don't. This is me. I really don't. This person said, then why would God go to all the trouble to create all of that then? Here's my answer to that. What trouble? Folks, there's no trouble for God to say, let there be light, and there was light. How much trouble did He go to? How much trouble did He go to create all of this? That's our God, folks. The only trouble God ever had was on Calvary. That's the only problem God ever faced, is how to be just and justifier at the same time. And for it to have to go through His Son and to hear His Son say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He created all things. He's the ruler of this universe. I'm looking now at verse 16 again, Colossians 1. All things were created by Him, and all things were created for Him. People want to know, what is this world coming to? I'll tell you what this world's coming to, folks. Jesus Christ. That's what it's coming to. Jesus Christ. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God someday. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged. What's this world coming to? We're all coming to Christ. Remember at the end of the sermon last Sunday? You don't remember. I barely do. You don't remember. I don't expect you to. But I pointed out to you a triangle. Romans 11:36. for of him or through him, for of him and by him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It's all of him. Everything that's created, it's of him. And it's all by him. And where is it all going? Back to him. Back to him. It was all created for him. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean, Mary? What does that mean? If all things were created for him, then I want to know, what are you doing here? Roy, what are you doing here? Hey, come on. What are you doing here? You're for him. Isn't that right? You are for him. Get it right. If you're not, you're throwing up a wicked fist of rebellion against the one who made you. It's created for him. I'm looking at the next phrase, or the next verse. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. By him all things consist. What's keeping this all together? Hey, what's keeping it together? I heard about a nuclear physicist who they just paid him to go to every major university, would pay him to come and to give a speech. And he had a chauffeur. And that chauffeur, of course, heard the speech. He didn't hear it once. He didn't hear it twice. He heard it so many times that on one occasion he said to the nuclear physicist, "I have heard that speech so many times, I could give that speech." And the nuclear physicist said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You give me the chauffeur's uniform, and you take my suit, and you give the speech." And so the physicist, now the chauffeur, sat out in the audience, and the chauffeur, now the physicist, got up on stage and gave the speech. Problem is, he talked a little faster than the physicist did. And so the chancellor of the university got up and said, "Well, it looks like we got about 20 minutes time. We'll have question and answer now." One young man stood up and said, "Sir, you have told us that all things are made up of atoms, and that every one of these atoms has a positive charge and a negative charge. And positive charges, they repel each other. So what keeps the atoms from disintegrating, from repelling one another and there being nothing?" And the chauffeur, now the speaker, says, "That is the dumbest question I have ever heard in my life. It is so dumb, I don't know how you could ask it of someone like me, and I don't know how you even got into this unit. It is so dumb, even my chauffeur can answer that." So the chauffeur is invited up. But you know what? Neither one of them could answer it. But we can answer it, right? What keeps that from happening? It's not what keeps it from happening, it's who keeps it from happening. By him, all things consist. He's the revealer of God. That's what's the big deal. He's the ruler of the universe. That's the big deal. Look at the third thing, and we're through. Right here in this chapter. And I'm beginning in verse number 18. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What's the big deal about Jesus? He's the reconciler of sinful man. He's the reconciler of sinful man. Here you have God in his holiness and his divineness, his perfectness. And here you have mankind in their sinfulness, their wickedness, their evil. And the two need to be reconciled, brought together again. And of all the billions that have ever graced this planet, of all the billions, there's only one. Jesus, knowing that that reconciliation needed to be, was a part of the plan from the beginning, from before the foundation of the world. On this side, he lays his divinity. And he lays it firm and he lays it strong. Upon this rock, he would say in Matthew 16:13, upon this rock, he's divine. And on this side, he lays another sure. He's man. He's human. He experienced every temptation that you and I have experienced, yet never sinned. He's flesh. And the two need reconciled. And Jesus builds a bridge between the two with the beam of a cross. Think about it, folks. The one who made every twig and every tree suffered and died on a what? On a tree. The one who created that sun suffered under the blazing sun of a Middle Eastern day. High noon. The one who carved out the place for the seas, who made every creek and every stream and every brook, and made the waters to go in it, cried, I thirst. I thirst. What was he doing? He was reconciling man to him. Reconciling man to God. He's the reconciler. I just point a couple of phrases out and we'll be through. Look at verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's what he did. Why did he do it? By him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in the heaven. And you. That were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Thanks God for that. He's reconciled. How did he do it? Look at verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death. That's how he did it. In the body of his flesh through death. Why did he do it? To present you holy and blameable and unreprovable in his sight. What did he do? He reconciled. He reconciled mankind to God. I don't know, folks. I've spent a Thanksgiving giving thanks How about you? And the greatest thanks I can give is thanks for reconciliation. Thanks for reconciling me. Thanks for serving as my Savior. Because I needed one. How about you? How about you? If you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian, don't you see the big deal in Jesus? He's the revealer of God. Without Him, you wouldn't know God. He's the ruler of this universe. All things are of Him and by Him and to Him. He's the one who can reconcile you. The great need of your life, the great need of your soul, He can reconcile you to His Father. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, how can you turn down such an offer of grace as that? Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized like He instructed you to do. Be baptized, and that so that you can be saved. Mark 16:16. We're giving you an opportunity this morning. If you're not a Christian, we can help you with that need in your life. We're here to do that. We'll help you today. If you're here, you are our brother, our sister in Christ. But you have needs in your life. I'd say to you that the answer to whatever that need is in a man. Would you agree? And His name is Jesus. He is not just prominent, folks. He is preeminent. He's the one and only. Folks, He doesn't just come showing us the way. He is the way. He doesn't just come telling the truth. He is the truth. He doesn't just come giving you life. He is the life. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So whether you're here needing to become a Christian or a Christian needing strength, it's all going to be found in the one and only Jesus Christ. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of our Lord, would you come as together we stand and sing?